Hello and welcome to Silverlight Studies. I'm Sean. This is a podcast that I do whenever I feel like it. This is a little mini-series we're doing in the lead-up to the release of The Lost Metal, the fourth book in the Wax and Wayne series. And I am joined on this little series that we're going to be doing, where we're going to be talking about each of the Wax and Wayne books once a month leading up to, obviously, Lost Metal's release. And I'm very excited to be joined by not only Gavin, who's been on the show before.
Yes.
But also, hi, Dash.
Hey, how's it going?
So, obviously, people that have listened will probably be familiar with Gavin, because Gavin's been on twice. But Dash, why don't you, like, you know, give a little introduction. Introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, I'm Dash. This is my second time podcasting on something different other than with Gavin. We do the Dark Road to Kingdom Hearts podcast. You probably heard my voice there if you listened to it at all. And, I like Brandon Sanderson books. You can thank Gavin for that.
Yes, I'm pretty sure, Dash, you have at least been mentioned on this podcast before when Gavin is on, I think.
Oh, he thinks about
me? I think Gavin...
Yeah.
He does.
All I do is talk about Dash.
It was kind of weird. I was like, Gavin, I'd like to know what you think, too.
I'm just like, well, firstly, he smells like lasagna. It's wild.
Hey, how'd you know about my showering habits?
But yeah, so Dash, I briefly at the start of this, I want to know how you got into Sanderson. Like you said, we have Gavin to thank for this.
Yeah.
And I think Gavin has kind of told this story on the podcast as well, but I'd like to hear it from your point of view.
Yeah, we were training, doing pool stuff. Me and Gavin got put together, and he bum-rushed me with his podcast first.
I swear to God, Dash, I knew this was coming. I knew you were going to say this way. Oh, my God, bro. Whatever. Go on. Tell your stupid, shitty story. Whatever. I don't care. Whatever. Tell your dumb, stupid, smelly story. I don't care.
So he bum-rushed me with his podcast. It was like, hey, you like this? And looking at me, and I just shook my head because I was just like, I have got to be with this guy for a week. And then he was like, hey, do you read books? And I looked at him. I said, no, I don't read books, but I really like Five Nights at Freddy's. And he goes, that's cool. Do you like, hey, how about Brandon Sanderson? And I go, who's that? And essentially, yeah, we talked about it a little bit, but he didn't actually send me like the first like audiobook until I was on my own, I think.
Yeah, because I was like, hey, man, yeah, whenever you're out there on your own, you know, just cruising. I got some audiobooks for you, man.
Yeah. And then I finally had to ask him about it. And I was like, what are those books you were talking about? You go, oh, let me send it to you. And like that, like moment stopped everything he was doing, sent me the books, showed me how to play. And then I pretty much was hooked almost instantly. Went through pretty much all of the Mistborn series, all through the Wax and Wane series. And now I'm at least at Stormlight getting through that.
You've also done like Warbreaker and Elantris. And I believe Emperor's Soul, right?
Yeah, all the side books in a specific order because Gavin would not let me listen to anything yeah. outside of yeah. the order he felt like was necessary.
Did you do publication or?
Okay, so Dash did like
illegal things.
All he did Mistborn 1, 2, 3, Secret History 4, 5, 6.
That's the exact same way I went through it.
Okay, yeah, that's just how he went through. That's how he started, right?
Yeah, because I had a choice in the matter.
And then I was like, okay, now you're going to get to Warbreaker, all right?
He's like, it's a little dry. He's like, it's a little dry starting off. He's like, just power through it, though. And I literally called him later that day. I was like, this book takes so long to get interesting. He's like, yeah,
it
I know.
It really does.
He's like, it's okay.
Especially whenever you've just come off the heels of learning just everything about one planet and one magic system and then all of the lore of just Scadrial, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, just going all, from all of that to like, hey.
Fucking Nalthus.
Yeah, you're going to Nalthus. they like colors and shit over there. That's fine. But then also I was like, hey, also there's another, you gotta get through Elantris, man. Like this one's going to be the hardest one, especially since you didn't start with it.
Emperor's Soul was easily my most enjoyable like side story, I guess if you could call it that, or whatever it was. I think that was probably my most enjoyable.
People really love that one.
For sure.
Yeah. I will say about Warbreaker, having just not just, but like nearly a year ago, done it for the podcast. Oh, much better on a reread.
Oh yeah, I have to go through it again.
I was enjoying covering Warbreaker way more than Mango was enjoying being told about Warbreaker, because I was like, look at all this foreshadowing that I can't tell you about. This is all great. Like, it's very well put together once you know what's going to happen at the end.
So, yeah, Sanderson has talked about his whole idea on spoilers and spoiler culture and people who don't want to be spoiled on things and people who do want to be spoiled on things. And I think ultimately, if you go into a story pretty much already knowing what's going to happen, you'll pick up on all the things that the creator of that story have put in place to get to that thing that you know about at the end, that ending. So I think Warbreaker is one of the most perfect books to reread. Same thing with, I feel like all of his, every single Sanderson
all
book
of them
really,
are very good.
Yeah.
But I think Warbreaker particularly is a little dull on the first read.
Yeah,
at least
I'd say
the
so.
First half of it. Mm-hmm. And I think even the first half is made a lot better on a reread. Mm-hmm.
I even think in the first read though, I mean, I know Sean, you're doing a series with, you know, telling someone about mm-hmm. the book, and I had Gavin, like, having someone there to kind of bounce things off of too. I mean, Gavin obviously couldn't tell me things, you know, but like,
it's so hard,
you know, but like every time I call him after something happened and I'm like, what's this? He's like, read and find out. And I'm just like, but what happens? You know, it's nice to bounce it off of somebody too, even if it is the first read, for sure.
Yeah, just because I know we're going to be talking about general, like, spoilers eventually of other stuff. Dash has read the first, you know, Stormlight book. He's read The Way of Kings, and there's a certain character who appears in that book, who appears in most of the books. And I didn't want to just tell Dash, like, hey, like, look out for this character. I just told him, I was like, hey, just give me a call whenever you get to that part. You know, just that part. I think that's all I said. I was like, you'll know the part. You'll know.
You'll know.
You'll know. And then he called me. He was like, it was him. And I was like, yeah.
This podcast, this series, like I mentioned, we're going to be running through the Wax and Wayne series. We're starting this month with Alloy of Law. Like we all just mentioned, Dash has not finished Stormlight Archive, so we're not going to be talking about any spoilers for the Stormlight Archive. The general structure of these episodes is going to be, we're going to open up with just like kind of reviewing the book that we're covering without spoilers, just kind of giving our opinions on it. These are all rereads for us, so we're going to be giving our, like, how we felt the first time versus how we feel now, that kind of thing. Then we're going to talk about a spoiler-filled discussion for all of the Wax and Wayne books that have come out so far. So we're going to be talking about, like, what is set up in this book that we have seen pay off in Shadows of Self or Bands of Mourning. Like, when we get into that section, it's going to be full spoilers for all the released... I'd say all the released Mistborn stuff, because I'm sure we'll also talk about Secret History. Anything that is a Mistborn novel or novella, we'll be talking about during those sections. During Shadows of Self and Bands of Mourning, we will probably, at the end of the episode, kick Dash off.
Sad.
And Gavin and I will talk about maybe some connections that might have to do with Stormlight in those books.
Mm-hmm.
We were gonna maybe do that for this one, but there really isn't anything. We will talk about, like, because I'm sure there's some stuff in there that it's like, yeah, but like, there's stuff to talk about there. So don't worry, we are gonna kick Dash off during those parts.
Well, that can be avoided. I mean, Dash, you got a lot of time to listen to books, man. You got a lot of time. These books are long, I know, but you can do it. I trust you.
Yeah.
You have 1 month to listen to the next three Stormlight Archive books and two novellas.
Yeah.
I won't sleep. It'll just be constant books all the time, 24/7.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Not go
don't
to
worry
work.
Worry about burnout. Yeah, totally fine.
Oh, come on. I read Rhythm of War in 6 days. You can do that. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't even. No, there's no way. I mean, I have to listen.
I'm an insane person.
I have to listen to it. If I tried to read. Oh, my God. We would. If we were waiting on me to read through Stormlight, there'd be a whole new set of Brandon Sanderson books. Like, I swear to God.
We'd be done with
Era 3.
We would be done with the Dark Road to Kingdom Hearts 4 by the time we got to the first one.
Yeah. Oh, I'd still be on the first page. Just like, Jesus.
All right, let's get into Alloy of Law then. Dash, since this is your first time on the podcast, I want to start with you.
Yes.
I want to know what you think about the book, how you felt about the book the first time, how you feel about it now. Like, strengths, weaknesses of it, whatever. Just like, what's your review of the book?
So, like, I've had this conversation with Gavin before. As of right now, the Wax and Wayne books themselves are my favorites by far.
Yes, I love that. I love to hear that.
I love the Sherlock Holmes and Watson kind of vibe that they give off. And it makes me happy because I love those books, or I love watching the movies about the books anyway. and it kept me entertained almost the entire time, like right off the rip, with the Dusty Town rolling, like the, tumbleweed and everything, like immediately right then and there, I was like, okay, I'm into this. I'm into this book. Mm-hmm. I want to know more about what's going on here. As compared to first read to second read, it's like when, you've watched a movie more than once and you know the good parts that are coming up and you just start getting so excited for the things that you know are going to make you laugh or make you cry, that kind of thing. And that's what I found myself doing. And I actually read it the second time. I actually didn't listen to it. I was telling Gavin about it. And like, this was like one of the first few times it was just a page turner, like I just kept reading and reading. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, it's 1 a.m. I have to go to bed. Like it was one of those feelings. And I was just so excited that I got to do it a second time. And I definitely put off reading Stormlight to do that. But we're not going to talk about that part.
It was for a good cause.
It was for a good cause.
What about you, Gavin?
I mean, it's Mistborn with guns, bro.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's
so good. Yeah. It's so, I wouldn't necessarily say Era 2 is my favorite thing in the Cosmere right now. I still save just in general. Words of Radiance. Oh, man, dude, Words of Radiance is just up there, man. That's my number one right now. But I do love this so much. I think it's a just kind of as a like a sequel series goes, I think it does a really good job at obviously just taking everything, all of the lore, everything that's happened beforehand on this planet, and just, very properly just saying, hey, here's the evolution of this. Mm-hmm. And as the, I guess just whenever this book came out, and Brandon Sanderson's kind of goal of kind of simply just showing you, hey, you remember Mistborn? Like, here's what's going on, like 300, 400 years later or whatever. And just the whole setting, like Dash was saying, this very Sherlock Holmes-esque just kind of environment, kind of Old West feeling, I don't know. It's a very different, it's a change of pace for sure. Man, the first time I did go through this book, I think I was like messaging you, Sean, about it, just kind of talking about Wayne.
Oh,
oh my gosh, dude. Wayne. I love Wayne so much. We'll talk more about it just like in the spoilers, but Sanderson wrote Wayne to be a very like visually comedic character.
Yes.
And I love it so much. I laugh out loud actually, like every time.
Yes, just, like, exactly. Yes.
And just all of the comedic timing is really well done. I think they're kind of this sort of like buddy cop duo between our main characters. It just like rolls off like so well. It's a very short and sweet little book. It's definitely, as far as his full length novels go, I'm fairly certain it's his shortest one.
It's got to be.
Yeah. Even just like on an audiobook, I know you said, Sean, even you just reading the book got through it like in a day, right?
Yeah. So I was about to say, I read this. It was either one day or two. I can't exactly remember, but it was, I read this in no time.
Yeah. I'm glad that Dash got a chance to actually read the words because other than that, me and him have been going through the graphic audio of everything. And so it's been very interesting. I love the voice actors that they got for these roles.
It's so
I can't
good.
Really, you hear a voice and like you get a character description and you just kind of have that picture in your mind. And I just can't ever see them anything different than like these guys who are voicing these characters, in the audiobooks. Mm-hmm. So it's been a very interesting ride going through this, especially on a second read through. just with, I mean, really, I believe this is actually my third like listen through of this. Because I read it or listened to it once, then Dash was going through it, and I was listening to it again so that me and him could talk about it as he was listening. And then you were like, hey, I want to do this thing. And I'm like, cool, round three, let's go. Yeah. So, you know, it's just been a really great time. I'm going to get through all of these Era 2 books at least like three times each. I'm going to be very well prepared for book four. But yeah, it's been really great on a second read through or just listen through. It's been, very, very interesting. Kind of like how you were saying, Sean, how there's not a whole lot of Cosmere stuff that we can really talk about as far as like spoiling future books or anything like that or other series. But there are little things here and there. Like Brandon Sanderson clearly knows what he's doing with this world, the magic system, the characters, just the whole history of everything. It's just been very interesting going through it again. Not gonna lie. I mean, thankfully this book is short. Like it happens so fast, but it's like watching. It's literally like watching a movie.
Like
a movie that you like a lot. You know, you get a little tired on the third time. You're like, okay, I've now watched this movie three times. Time to watch the sequel. You know, that's kind of how I am right now. But that doesn't mean I don't like enjoy it. Like it's a great time every time.
Not a ton to talk about Cosmere wide, but this book does an incredible job setting up Era 2 of Mistborn. There's definitely stuff to talk about that's like going to come up in Shadows and Bands and presumably the Lost Metal, because there's one thing we're going to talk about in a little bit that still has not been resolved and I need a resolution desperately. As for me, like I said, I read this in like a day the first time, maybe two. Era 2 is not my favorite thing in the Cosmere, but Shadows of Self is my favorite Brandon Sanderson book. Of all of them. And earlier I said, these books are a lot of fun. And then in my mind I went, except for Shadows. Shadows is less fun.
Wouldn't call it fun.
No. This book and Bands are both very fun. And then Shadows is like this detective noir.
I love it so much.
Cripplingly sad story that I adore.
I love it.
We'll talk about it when we do Shadows, but the ending, the last like sentence of Shadows is my favorite thing that Sanderson has ever written. But with this book, my first time through, I like adored it. I think the biggest like strength of this book is seeing this world 341 years later.
Nice.
How everything is different but familiar, and how this magic has like affected the development of mankind, and how like having a literal god that like hangs around and helps you with stuff has affected the development of mankind, because Harmony is very involved, shall we say, even if he claims that he isn't. On a reread, I think this book went down a little bit for me, and I'd say that its greatest weakness is that it was published in 2011. And the next two books were published in 2015 and 2016. And those books, I think, are just, the characters are written so much better than. Sanderson, at that point, had written two Stormlight books, had finished The Wheel of Time. Like, his writing just between Alloy of Law and Shadows of Self and Bands of Mourning. Like, between book one and the beginning of, like, the actual trilogy, he becomes like, and such, like, his writing skill evolves to an insane degree, I think, during that time period.
Yeah, I would definitely say in between Alloy of Law and Shadow of Self, like, there is a clear, like, there's a clear divide. Like, there's a line in between, you know, this book and then the actual trilogy of Era 2.
Yes. And I think Wax and Wayne are really great in this book. And I really loved Morrissey and Steris on my first read through. But knowing how they are in Shadows and Bands made the second read through a little bit like, okay, you guys are like the proto versions of these characters.
Yes,
a little,
yeah, for real.
You know, like Morrissey and Steris in particular are so much better in the next two books. And I still really like them in this book. And I really loved them my first time through this book. But like I said, I think on reread, the biggest weakness is that it's not the next two, which is a pretty good weakness to have, I think. So yeah, I think those are kind of general thoughts. So let's go ahead and dive into spoilers. We're going to be talking about stuff for the entire trilogy, for just, we're going to say all of Mistborn. So that's Mistborn Era 1, Mistborn Era 2, and Secret History.
Cool.
I kind of want to start just by talking about the main characters, which I would classify as Waxwayne, Steris, and Morrissey. How do you guys say Morrissey's name, by the way? Morrissey, how does he say it in the audio?
I think I hear it if I remember. I think yeah, Morrissey.
Morrissey.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's how they say it in the graphic audio. It's Morrissey.
I don't know how who are the big two readers of the series.
Michael Kramer and Kate Redder. Kate Redding, yes.
Yeah, I don't know how they say it, but in graphic audio I believe it's Morrissey.
Morrissey. That would make sense, you know, Mare. She could be named after Kelsier's. Wait,
the mayor of the town.
Yeah,
no, like, yeah,
Mayoracy.
No, Kelsier's dead wife. Her name was Mare. That's why they're the Mare.
Oh, girls, yes.
Flowers, right?
I believe so.
They've
Hold
got
on.
The flowers.
I'm trying to remember.
I don't know. She was dead, so I didn't think about it too much.
Yeah,
the
who cares?
Flowers in like.
Yeah, her name was Mare.
The kind of park area. Yeah, the kind of park area in the center of Ellendale, which is like the place where fucking where the ending of Hero of Ages happens. Mm-hmm. There's the Marewill flowers, which are named after. Yeah,
I never put that together.
They're the flowers that she drew for Kelsier that he like shows to Vin in Era One.
Yeah, on the paper. Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
And she's like, "Why the fuck is it colorful? What the hell?"
Yeah. So what do you like? Is there any? I don't know which character you guys want to start with.
I fucking hate Steris.
Oh, you hate Steris.
I hated her in the first, dude. I had such a grudge against her in the first book. Definitely got better. Like you said, I started to really like her, you know, towards, you know, the other two books and stuff. But this first book, I was just like, oh, I think I told Gavin, I think I called him. I said, I hope Steris dies.
Yes, he literally did. He called me at a moment that he was like just hating her a lot. And he was like, I hope she dies. I'm like, Dash, you don't mean that. Don't say it isn't so, Dash. Come on.
I just hated how, you know, she just came in and she was just like, well, I'm just gonna whip this man into shape. And I'm just like, I'm like, this is a classic kind of thing, but like, I already hate you because you're being really snooty. And then just kept trying to, you know, just whip it. You know, you have to act proper. You know, you have to go to these functions. And I'm just like, let the man do what he wants. He's a great detective. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting, all that. And then at the end, Sanderson writes in there that, like, I mean, the reveal at the end is, like, she's fucking turned on by him being this lawman. Like, I think he literally says that Wax looks at her when he's, like, when he's just killed like a million people and he's rescued her. And he's like, she's aroused. Like, book says that.
Yeah, hell yeah. I was physically clapping in my truck like, yeah! You know?
No, I would say I agree. The first time that I did read this book, I was not about Steris at all. I was... You know, and then she wasn't in the whole.
No,
she wasn't in the book for a while.
In it.
But also, a lot of the plot is kind of revolved around saving her. I'm like, why the fuck should I care about this lady? I don't like her.
Yeah.
But since we are talking about full like Era 2 kind of spoilers right now, it's just kind of like, man, I would say there's a scene with Steris in the third Wax and Wayne book.
Is it that the hotel?
It might be. Well, no, there.
I was thinking about the hotel too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no,
that's like the funniest thing Sanderson has ever written.
No. I'm thinking about the scene whenever she's ranking her like status in the group.
Oh yeah.
And that made me cry. Like that. Like I think I was like really starting to understand what Sanderson, like what kind of character Sanderson was writing, and I was just like, okay. I get it.
I respected it.
I like Steris now.
I respected it, man. I was like, damn. I was like, she was real on that. She came out and said the truth. I was like, she was not lying. She had no false hopes. She's like, look, I know my place. Do not ask me to do anything else outside of that.
Yeah, no, that was a good moment. I mean, just in like you were just saying, in regards to this first book, though, and kind of what we were talking about with the level of quality that kind of takes a pretty noticeable shift from this book into the next book. You know, I definitely was not feeling Stairs, but I'm so very glad that pretty much every character that he brings into this book just like goes up like 10 notches in the next books.
Yeah. Let's talk about Maris. Maracy, yes. Maracy for a second.
Okay.
Yes. I was like, how did I pronounce it again? because here's my big thing with Maracy, all right? And we're introduced to her here, so I'm just going to say this here. Maracy should be the fucking hero of this whole. I want at the end of all this, I want to be reading the end of the Lost Metal, and I want fucking Wax to be like, all right, peace out, I'm retiring, and I want Harmony to be like, all right, Maracy, you're the hero. Fucking, yeah. You're my sword.
Yeah, Ven 2.0.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I love her so much throughout all three of these books. Like, stuff she does in book three is some of my favorite moments, like, towards the end of book three. Like, when she's, like, becomes a fucking uber-powerful, like, Mistborn for 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of book three.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
When she picks up the bands, I'm like, she's also such an interesting character, especially in this book, because she's, like, breaking down, like, crime statistics and shit. And, like, it's interesting to introduce, like, somebody with, like, an actual education into, like, epic fantasy.
Yeah.
You know? I really love Maracy.
Yeah, I think I kind of have a similar feeling of Maracy a little bit that I did with Stairs. I just felt like kind of milquetoast sort of character. Like, mm-hmm. she had better moments. I liked her more than I liked Stairs. But at the same time, it also kind of felt like they were trying to build up some sort of weird little love triangle.
Oh, hated yes.
Hated that.
I was literally going to say then, that, yeah.
Yeah, then Sanderson clearly was like, that's not where I'm going with this. No. So I'm going to just change that. And I'm really glad that he did. Because, yeah, like y'all are saying, was not a fan of that. But in context of everything else, I do agree with you, Sean. I think she's kind of the MVP of this this whole series.
I love her. I mean, like, the first time she does something badass, she shoots somebody with a rifle, like, in the middle of this book. Like, she's like, actually, I'm a sharpshooter, too. And I'm like, that's cool. Respect.
You're a cool person. I like you.
You're cool. Yeah, I like you. But also, like, on the love triangle thing, really quickly, I kind of liked it better in this book because I feel like it continues with the theme of this this set of books, which I think is Wax needs to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Wax is like 40. He can't be the hero forever. And I think this kind of works where his attraction to Maracy is something that he, in this book, barely even kind of toys with. And he directly compares to like his past with Lessie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of works to have like this this thing like drawing him to the past to like his youth, but what he needs to do is grow up and be with Stairs and like be an adult and like not be what Maracy wants him to be, Maracy wants him to be, which is like this fucking superhero that, you know, goes around the roughs, like taking names, kicking ass like that. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I think Wax's arc is getting away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think the romance works in this book on that level. I think it gets dragged out a little bit throughout the next two books.
Yeah, I would say the love triangle in the first book is a little bit more, it's bearable, like you're saying. It's better in this book than it is in the next book. Also, just on a first read through, you don't really realize who Wax really is going to be with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're kind of just like, okay, yeah, sure, love triangle. Yeah. Maybe it could be either one of them. Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in the context of everything else, going back and re-listening to this book, I'm like, oh, this stupid love triangle shit. Get this out of here.
I mean, I like what, you know, both of you really said, and, you know, talking on the love triangle thing too, it's, you know, it really made you want to push towards Maracy a lot because Stairs was just, in some ways, very unbearable, at least to me. I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, yes, just run off with her. Yeah. You'll have more fun. I go, leave her in the dust. But by the end of the book, you're just like, he needs someone to keep him in check. Maracy is not that person at all. Like, if anything, her and Wayne would be hilarious. Like that,
dude, would be so funny.
I would love to see like a Brady Bunch kind of show with just those two, just a bunch of kids. And you're just like, oh, this is wild. But, you know, like you said, the growing up and just he needs someone that's going to ground him. And that was absolutely perfect. And how it ended out and how it should have ended out. Personally, I thought it dropped off completely in the other two books. Like, I didn't feel like that love triangle at all. I mean, maybe in the first part, because in my head, I was like, okay, this love triangle thing's still here. But then the way she talks to him, I'm just like, oh no, it's dead. Like, the first conversation they have, I'm like, it's dead to me. Like, that's, they have moved past this.
You're right. What I'm thinking of, they have moved past it. What I found insufferable was Wayne. Because Wayne does not
move past yes. it. Wayne brings it up a lot. Yeah.
Throughout the next few books, Wayne is like, no, you guys should be together, not like Stairs. That's the part that I was like, it's not even a love triangle. It's just Wayne being insufferable a little bit. And I love Wayne, but sometimes, you know, I think specifically with Stairs, Wayne sometimes is a little like, all right, dude, calm down just a bit.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Like, let's talk about Wayne then. Wayne, very surprising backstory in this book.
Oh.
oh, yes.
And then you get, I mean, Wayne is a comic relief for most of this book. And then you get the one chapter where you're like, oh, actually, he's kind of a tragic character.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the book kind of doesn't play it with that a ton. But then I can't remember if, I think it's in Shadows when he goes and he like yes. visits. And then you're like, this dude is torturing himself.
Yeah.
Like, I love Wayne so much, even though sometimes I'm like, dude, you got to shut the fuck up. mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think personally, yeah, just in this series right now, Stairs and Wayne are my two favorite characters. Mm-hmm. Just in Era 2. But like you're saying, yeah, we get his backstory kind of very briefly mentioned, you know. Mm-hmm. He was roped into, you know, trying to, I guess, make a little bit of money, ends up accidentally killing someone. And then he tells, I believe it's Marcy who he's like telling the story.
Yeah, it's Marcy.
Yeah.
you know, and he's just like, yeah, I still stay in touch with the guy's family.
Send them money.
You know, they hate me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I send them money. Yeah. You know, they hate me. They tell me how much they hate me every time, yeah. but you know, I still do it. And then we get that actual scene with him later on doing the shit. And it's like, oh my. And it's funny too, because that whole scene where he's going into the like university or whatever, it's very funny. Like, it's a very comedic scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he gets to where he's trying to be. And then you're like, oh fuck. He's giving her the money. Yeah. And then you're just like, oh my God, all of that for this. What are you doing?
I liked it though. It was like, you're going to get some hijinks from Wayne. And then all of a sudden it just like abruptly stops, you know, like record scratch. Yeah. And you're just like, I was not prepared for this at all. And it just gut punches you.
Yeah. I think everything that they do with his character, from his introduction till where he is now, like, this guy, you know, will absolutely like take a bullet for his homies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super respectable in that regard. But at the same time, like, man, like, what an asshole sometimes, you know? I do want to say, too, just on Wayne, the first introduction that we get to him, I love it. I love it so much
good.
Because he just shows up at the house and he's like, yo, what are you doing? He's like, hey, bro. He's like, dude, you gotta go out. You gotta keep on doing crime and shit. What the fuck? What do you mean? What am I doing? And
then New Yorker.
And then Wax is like, yeah, I don't know. It's funny. He does like a, what kind of accent does he do in graphic audio? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's kind of like a Scottish kind of accent.
He's like, oh, great heavens. like.
Oh, yeah. Then the guys come up and then he turns around and then fucking Wayne is just like wearing a fake mustache, which let me just say, fake mustache, always going to get a laugh out of me. Always. I don't care what it is. If someone's disguised, if the thing that they are doing to themselves to make them unidentifiable is to put a fucking fake mustache on and it works, hell yeah.
I just heard you clap, but I don't know if
so
everyone's going to hear that on the recording, but
so
very good.
So good.
So I was actually just about to ask about favorite Wayne moment in this book. And I think that's going to be something that's going to recur throughout the rest of these is what's your
favorite
Wayne moment? For me, it's maybe my favorite line of all these books of Wayne's. is when he's like,
nudes.
That's my lucky. No, not that one. But he goes, that's my lucky hat. And he's like, oh, what's lucky about it? I've never died while wearing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. So good.
So good. I would have to.
He's like, every man's got to have a lucky hat.
I it's going to be a kind of a cop out, but literally the first introduction scene with Wayne made me laugh way too hard. Yeah. It was easily, it was easily my favorite. It was honestly so funny.
I would also probably say, so that scene was also really good. Pretty early on in the book as well, we have the scene where he's disguised himself as kind of like a like one of the cops, and he goes in and he interrogates the guy, and he's like, tell me what you know, and like he's like, spit in my face, and he's like, what? He's like, tell me what you know. He's like, come on, no, seriously, spit in my face. And he's like, this son of a bitch, you know. And, then they slow down time and everything, and he's like, look, I'm gonna get you out of here. Like, this is. That was such a good scene. I loved that whole scene. He's like, y'all have scones? You know, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, good one.
Okay, let's talk about Wax. Wax is cool because he's an older lead. I think the oldest lead, because if you're talking about Stormlight, I wouldn't say Dalinar is the
sure.
lead. I'd say Kaladin is. So I'd say Wax is definitely the oldest lead of a Sanderson book. And... his PTSD, I think, is, I mean, I don't have any experience with that kind of thing, but from what I know of PTSD, I feel like it's written very well.
Of all of the, I guess the sort of, mental illnesses that Brandon Sanderson has kind of brought to the table, I feel like this particular story, just taking Wax's character as it is and just kind of how he acts outside of like remembering his past and all this stuff, I feel like this representation of PTSD is not necessarily bad, but I think it's the weakest. I think it's the weakest of all of the his attempts at like portraying characters with mental illness, if that makes sense.
I don't entirely disagree. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I would disagree is that Zane is 1,000 times worse.
Oh yeah, see, I just threw him away. Like yeah, I don't, no. like I don't, yeah. like who is Zane? Yeah. Who, yeah. who, yeah. Sean? Yeah, yeah I don't know.
You're right. It's nowhere near as good as the characters in Stormlight, which
right.
Stormlight I think is a masterpiece in depicting mental illness.
He could prove me wrong, you know, in this last book. Like maybe like, but at the same time, I feel like we've just gotten so many flashbacks of all the shit that he's dealt with whenever he was. A kid and whenever he was, you know, married and all this stuff. So I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do, but just as of right now, I just in general kind of think Wax is not the most exciting character.
No.
As far as main protagonists go.
I would agree that he's not the most exciting. I think the parts that I especially thought were interesting on this read through were just how he subconsciously acts like, not so much the parts where he's like literally having flashbacks to what happened, but like how we get out of his point of view and Marcy's like, he never stands in front of the windows when he is like messing with them. He always stands right out of eyesight of anybody that could be looking in through them. Like, and how he'll sometimes be like, and yeah, like the door behind me, nobody can get through it. I know that already. Like in his monologue, I think it does a pretty good job of like, is in his inner monologue when it's not doing the like gruesome flashback over and over again, it does a pretty good job of showing how he is like hyper aware of his surroundings without really being conscious that he is.
Yeah. It's just second nature to him just to constantly just keep himself out of danger or, you know, out of harm's way in any kind of way possible. I mean, I like his character the most when he's interacting with other people, you know, when he's interacting with Steris, you know, or Wayne, that's when I see the signs of, oh, I really like this character. But when it's just him and his thoughts and everything, I'm just like, I don't love it. You know, I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
That's what I was kind of thinking that same thing. I feel like some of the times that I feel like I enjoy Wax the most are whenever the supporting cast is really shining. It really, I feel like the meat of the characters in this book lie in the supporting characters around Wax. I feel like they are what make him a more interesting character than he might actually be, you know?
Well, even in the very end of it all, I mean, even then when everything's kind of coming to its conclusion and everything, it's like, yeah, but even then I'm like, I still don't necessarily get what you're... what was your final arc? You know what I mean? In that, at that point, it felt like more everybody else kind of finished out, you know, rounded out their characters. And I know obviously there's another book, so maybe he had plans for that, but it felt like,
yeah,
it was just left off. Like, you know, they were just like, oh, you know, he's the hero, I guess. Like that's your resolution, you know. But like, you know, Wayne had, you know, his whole, you know, being able to hold a gun, all that kind of stuff. And it just seemed like a more rounded character than Wax felt like.
Let's, before I start hitting on like small stuff, let's talk about the set, because I think that's the other big thing in this book, is we start to kind of get introduced to the overarching villain of this saga, this series of books. It's not a trilogy, this quadrology or whatever, which is like the Illuminati, I guess. And the plot in this one is, you know, the Vanishers are just kind of tools for the set. They're doing their thing, you know, with the robberies. But really, the important thing for the Wax and Wayne series overall is that they're kidnapping these women. In what is, I think this is one of the darkest things Sanderson has ever written. And he has not resolved it. Because they're kidnapping these women to breed them to create more Allomancers. And by the end of Bands of Mourning, we still don't know what the fuck happened to these women.
Like, yeah, I'm really curious to see if maybe in the final book or something, it might be too late. You know, it might be just be like, just forget about it. But maybe, like, yeah, because it'll be like, what, 10 years? Like a 10-year gap in the last...
Yeah, it's been years.
Who knows? They might just like come into contact with somebody who...
an army of 10-year-old Allomancers.
I mean,
you turn down an alleyway and just a bunch of 10-year-old Allomancers corner you and you're over. Yeah. It's done.
I'm thinking, okay, maybe, hear me out, maybe.
I can't breathe.
But, or, maybe they also, I was also more so thinking along the lines of they just come into contact with maybe one of the women who they had kidnapped, and they have a conversation with her, and she, like, lets in a lot of information or something like that, and we also get to really, I don't know, maybe at that point we finally see really a perspective of what was really happening, like, during all of this this shenanigans. I don't know, I
honestly just think that the plan is just gonna die out. They're like, all right, well, that didn't work, let's move on to the, you know, the next thing, the next plan B, plan C, whatever it is, and just...
They just completely moved on from it. Like, yeah, we don't need to worry about it.
Or, yeah, if they do run into a mom, and they're like, oh my god, you were one of the moms from that, you know, from way back, you know, how's it going? He's like, yeah, he's 10. Like, what do you want? He's a 10-year-old boy, now leave. Like, okay, yeah, cool. Like, you know, I think they just move on from it, because it didn't sound like it was gonna go anywhere after that.
Mm-hmm. Well... I don't know how dark Sanderson is going to take this, but since it's Mistborn, and the first era of Mistborn was really fucking dark, and I know that he said that, like, he kind of regrets making it so dark, and if he were to write it again, he would not.
Ah, I'm tired of hearing that. Come on, just be happy with what you made. Come on, it's fine, it's good.
I, because there's some interest with Hemalurgy, with the set, and I'm so worried they're going to, like, they're like having these fucking kids to create Mistborn, like have a kid with an allomantic power and then just fucking spike it and give like a super soldier, like take the allomantic power from the kid with a spike and give it to a super soldier. Like, fucking, I'm terrified that some really fucked up shit is going to happen.
Oh my God. Cause I feel like awful. Holy crap.
It's
so dark. Oh my God.
It is. But, like, what is their end game? Like, why did they do this? Like, I feel like I need an answer. Like, whether it is, like, what you guys said is just, like, it was an avenue that we tried and we kind of figured that, you know what, actually, this doesn't work. I don't know. I feel like with the way the set is portrayed throughout these books, they're smarter than that. Like, I don't think there's anything they've done in these books that was, like, that just didn't pan out, you know? I feel like everything has been for a reason. Like, when you add in, like, the whole Trell thing, which Trell is mentioned in this. We'll talk about Trell briefly.
Oh, yes.
And we'll talk about Trell way more in the next two books. I think there had to have been a reason for why they did this. And I'm terrified that it's like something really fucked up.
I don't know.
Up.
Maybe Gavin's right, you know? Maybe they're just going to spike.
It's an army of
10-year-olds. It's an army. That's all, I mean, could you, okay, what you said, Sean, was really dark. But can you imagine if Wax and Wayne have to pummel a bunch of 10-year-olds? Like, just,
oh my God.
Start brutally then, stomping on these children?
Yo, this is the opening, right? This is the opening of book 4, right? And then literally Wax is just Darth Vader. Am I right?
Yeah.
He's Luke.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God. I kind of think it'd be, I'm wondering, like, what's the villain of the next, like, this last book? And with the way they've built up, like, Mistborn are gone. There are no Mistborn. Like, this, yada, yada, yada. Like, it'd be kind of crazy if the last fight in Wax and Wayne was against, like, a Terminator Mistborn, where everybody's like, we can't fucking fight this thing. It's a Mistborn. Like, we haven't had one of those in hundreds of years. What the fuck are we going to do?
That would be wild.
Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I'm very curious to see where Lost Metal is going to go and where the Set's army of 10-year-old Allomancers is going.
I want fan art of that.
Hey, maybe they use some like accelerated timeline type stuff on these kids.
No, they have to stay 10. That's the only reason.
They raise them in constant Bendeloy bubbles.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yikes.
That'd be wild.
I wonder if it'll work. I can't think about that now. Now my brain is like, could you do that? But the character that is like interesting in this book is, I think, Miles, cuz you do something very interesting where Miles is very much like Kelsier. But Kelsier, and this is something that Sanderson has said, is like, in a different story, Kelsier is the villain. You know, like, Kelsier is not a great dude. And you see somebody who's a lot like Kelsier, but in a time where a person like Kelsier isn't necessary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And how is that person perceived when the Lord Ruler isn't the worst being to have ever existed? You know, like, the person running Elendil isn't the literal devil or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I think Miles is a very interesting character
that's a way to think about it. I never really thought about Kelsier. I mean, I always thought he could be a villain, but like, thinking about him outside of Mistborn, like, yeah, he would just be just a messed up dude. He really would be.
I mean, he doesn't care who he kills.
No, like, not at all.
He's like, I'll kill any noble person. I don't care if they're like innocent or not, like, I will murder every single one. Like, yeah, no. Kelsier is kind of, I love Kelsier, and I love him because he's so fucked up. But I think that's, like, you know, speaking about secret history for just a second, that's where Kelsier's going, I think. I don't think Kelsier's going to show up throughout the rest of these books and be a great help to everybody around him.
No.
You know?
No, not at all. Like, he's going to be the big bad of something, and,
like,
yeah, that's going to be, that will be interesting.
But yeah, Miles says, and I wrote this down because it's great, you are all fools. One day the men of Golden Red, bearers of the final metal, will come to you, and you will be ruled by them. Worship, worship Trell, and wait.
Yeah, I'm really excited for book 4, guys. I just wanted to fucking know what the hell is up with Trell. Because we really only see Trell, like, slight spoiler, we see him in only one other story. For like a second, kind of like towards the end.
Yeah.
Even still, we don't know a whole lot about Trell, so it's kind of like, okay, I'm just hearing people say his name. What the fuck does that mean? You know?
Yeah. It is. We'll talk about Trell more when we have more to talk about, and I think that'll be something that Gavin and I can really dive into on a Cosmere level. Mm-hmm. Probably Bands of Mourning. We'll talk, because I think I kind of want to wait until we get all the information from the books. And then we'll talk about Trell as like a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing about the set is, I think there's a great line that I picked up on with Edwin, where they're talking about, like, oh yeah, I realize that all these kidnapped, like Wax, I realize that all these kidnapped women are descended from the Lord Mistborn. And Morrissey's like, how'd you figure that out? And he's like, oh, my uncle had like really in-depth genealogical researching or something. And I'm like, okay, yeah, all right, now that I know what's going on, that makes sense.
Yep.
You know,
oh my God, I did not pick up on that that much. It blew right over my head. Did not think about that. Oh, that's awful.
I was like, It's very good foreshadowing. And the butler is very well foreshadowed as well, because literally everything that he does when he's on page is like, fucking stop investigating. You know?
Yeah.
So that betrayal is I think very well foreshadowed. Other minor things that I don't have a ton to say about. Marsh is in this book. How excited were you guys when Marsh just fucking appears at the end?
I think I audibly was like, yo!
I was like, everybody's dead now. I go, if he gets involved, everybody dies. I go, that's just what happens. I'm like, Marsh is too strong.
Which, thankfully, I mean, maybe I could be misremembering, but I feel like we haven't really seen him much after that.
Like, we have not seen him like, since at all, really. Joke. No.
So it's kind of like, okay, maybe that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
That would be an unfair fight. That would be a grown man versus 10-year-olds. Like, that's not fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He is worshipped as a god by some people.
yeah.
Some people, Sliverism, worship Iron Eyes, as they call him. And Marsh just has a line, or like it's two lines, but he says, Harmony has particular views about how things must be done. I do not always agree with him. And then saying about Wax, he says, he does my brother's work. Which really just makes me want Secret History 2, which Sanderson is like teased might be a thing one day.
Yes, yes.
Because I desperately want to know what Harmony, Marsh, and Kelsey are just doing in the background during this series.
Yeah, I'm still thinking that Secret History will be set up as kind of like an anthology type series of books. So like Secret History 2 is probably, in my head, at least what I'm thinking is going to happen. I don't think it's going to be like a sequel per se to Secret History. I think it will maybe tell a different story.
Okay.
You know, from somewhere else. Maybe still on Scadrial, but who knows? I think it's going to be an anthology.
That'd be awesome. We get a little bit of dialogue from Harmony. We'll talk more about Harmony, I think, in the next two books, because I think that's really where Harmony starts to show up. There's, in one of the broadsheets, they mentioned that there's life across the ocean. Still don't know what the fuck that's about, because I'm pretty sure that's not the northern Skadrians that we see in Bands of Mourning. I don't think they go over an ocean to get to that. So in one of the broadsheets, they're like, yeah, some sailors crashed and found civilization on like the other side of the ocean. So
yeah,
maybe that'll get resolved at some point.
Yeah.
The Hoid cameo. He is a beggar at the wedding.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I,
it's like,
I did
it's like one sentence.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research. Hoid is visiting this wedding because he's just there because he's congratulating his friends on their wedding. He's friends with those two people, Joshin Yeoman and Michelle Oslin. And Sanderson has said that like this is a cameo for the founders of the 17th Shard Forum, who had just gotten married in real life.
Wow.
So, I think it's Josh and Michelle are the two founders of the 17th Shard. And so that's their wedding that Hoyt is going to congratulate. So I just think that's a
nice. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Nice little homage.
Another neat little fact that I did not find out until I was just like researching. Breton, the constable, like the constable general who retires at the end of this book and is acting weird at the end. And Wax is like, this guy's acting weird. Why is he being so nice to me? Reason for that, because he's dead. Breton is killed off screen towards the end in a different plot, like not related to the Vanishing stuff. And Harmony directs Tensoon to take his bones. So that is Tensoon at the end of the book. And that's why he lets Wax off so easily. I had no idea. He was just acting strange.
No clue.
And I was like, okay, why is this guy acting strange at the end of the book? And I went to the Coppermine and I was like, all right, this is some shit.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
This character just kind of dies off screen and Tensoon takes his bones and that's the reason that like Wax gets his position at the constabulary or whatever.
Well, now I got to fucking listen to this the fourth time.
God damn it. Yeah, now I got to go through it again. I didn't know. That's really interesting.
Wow.
I love Tensoon.
And just the last thing I've got I have notes on Bloody Tan because we'll talk more about Bloody Tan probably in the next book. But just the dialogue he says is interesting. He says, each life is a performance, but we are not the performers. We are the puppets. I have seen God, Lawkeeper. I have seen Death himself with the nails in his eyes. I have seen the survivor who is life. He says that months and years have been spent preparing for this moment. And he says, someone else moves us. And I have some wobs about Bloody Tan.
You're talking about like the guy at the very beginning.
At the very beginning, who yanks.
Yes.
So here are the wobs I have about Bloody Tan. Bloody Tan was not under the direct control of Harmony or Kelsier in this moment. but was being influenced by something that allowed him to move Lessie's that fast. That was supernatural speed. Bloody Tan is not an Allomancer. And Sanderson has said that Kelsier was not aware of this event and would not have wanted it to happen, but could have been indirectly involved. So I'm still waiting to see if there's more to that. I think we're going to learn more about what happened with Bloody Tan and Lessie in the last book once we learn what Trell is. Because the only thing I can think of that would be influencing Bloody Tan outside of Harmony or Kelsier would be Trell.
I feel like that might be answered in the next book.
I just wanted to bring that up so that we had it on our horizon as we as we proceed through this and into the book four eventually. At the end
now
of
I won't
all.
Be able to sleep. That's all I'm gonna think about. I'm like, wait, what was why what what? I don't know.
Thank you guys so much for joining me. I know this went a little long, sorry. But why don't you guys go ahead and just plug away at your stuff?
You can find me, Gavin, on YouTube. You can find me on anywhere that you listen to podcasts, really, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all that. My podcast that I run is called The Overleveled Podcast, or Overleveled RPG News and Reviews. For a while, we've been doing RPG news and reviews stuff with my buddy DJ, but as of recently, like we were talking about at the beginning of the show, Dash and I both have been going through the Kingdom Hearts series. I've gone through Kingdom Hearts a dozen times. This is Dash's very first like real exposure to the series. And we just finished up Kingdom Hearts 1 fairly recently. We still have to go and record a Patreon episode for our show, going over the rest of the Ansem's reports in that game. But we are very soon going to start up Kingdom Hearts Rechain of Memories. So we're going through these games in the order that they were released. So we're going to get all that stuff done pretty soon. In the meantime, you can follow me there on YouTube and everywhere else. Also on Twitter, that is at OverleveledCast on Twitter. And that's pretty much it. That's all I'll plug for right now.
I have nothing.
All right.
All right.
I tried doing Twitter and Instagram, and I just don't check it that much. But if you want to hear more of my voice, I'm Gavin's weird shadow. So there you go. Wherever you find Gavin is where you find me all the time.
There you go.
Perfect. And you'll find Dash hopefully next month right here talking about Shadows of Self.
Yes, that too.
As for me, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK. Everything that I do, I put on there. This podcast at Speak Stormlight on Twitter. There is a Discord server. The link to join that is in the episode description. It's also, I believe, the pinned tweet on our Twitter account. This is going to be going up in the middle of September. And at that point, we're going to be really close to the end of Words of Radiance on the main show, Speak the Words. It's a, you know, I feel like if you're listening to this, you know what that show is. But I hope you guys are excited for that, because I'm very excited to get through the ending of that. Guys.
I'm excited.
You know what? Thank you, Dash. It's good to have somebody that supports me, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. There was one guy, he kind of told me to watch it, to listen to it, you know? He said it's okay.
It's okay,
you know?
It's all right.
But I love it. Oh, I love it. The other guy was just kind of being mean about it. I don't know who that is.
I get it. Thanks again so much for listening, and we'll
he's so quiet.
we'll catch you guys.
Look,
next
if you
time.
Like if you like mediocre content, I'm just kidding. No, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Listen to it.
I will be back next time alone.
Asking questions to yourself and then answering them yourself.
Yes. Thanks so much. We'll see you guys next time for Shadows of Self.
See ya.
Bye.